Kia ora. Welcome to Emron's Podcast, episode 310. Today is Thursday, May 28, 2015. This episode is called Winterish because it's winterish outside, or winter-like if you prefer. It's not winter yet, that doesn't happen until June 1st, but it is becoming increasingly winter-like or winterish. The temperatures are getting colder, it's raining a bit more often, and it's becoming like a typical Auckland winter. Last night it was 6 degrees, which is about 43 degrees Fahrenheit, and so, we're pretty much sidling into winter as we speak. But we've had an absolutely brilliant autumn this year. It's been really quite mild, a bit warm. Well, actually, I call it Goldilocks weather. It's just right, not too hot, not too cold, just right. So we were able to open up the deck doors and the windows and everything and get nice breezes through the house. It was absolutely lovely. Better than summer was, probably. And, I generally do several attempts at recording these episodes, and this one was no different. I think I've done three or four before this one. And the most recent was called Autumner because of that weather. It was just so beautiful. And that particular day, I remember the last time I tried to record, the skies were sort of bright, brilliant blue without clouds, and it was warm. Well, it's still sunny today, but it's not so warm. It's actually quite a bit colder. The official temperature at the moment is 14 degrees Celsius, which I don't know what that is. I'll tell you. That is 57 degrees, just over 57 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's probably typical for a late autumn day, I guess, in Auckland. But it's not winter. I was actually thinking about Northern Hemisphere winter the other day. And the two things about it that I did like, because I don't hate everything about Northern Hemisphere winter, or Chicago winters, but there were two things that I did like. One was when, and this is typical for a lot of people, when there's a new fallen snow, and it blankets the trees and the buildings, and everything looks all pretty, as long as you don't have to go out in it anyway, it looks very pretty, and I liked that. And also, there was what I thought was sort of a magical light that would reflect off of the snow and into the house when there was freshly fallen snow. And, of course, that's something you never get here in Auckland because we don't get snow. We don't get frosts either, really. Very light frost. I don't even know if it's heavy enough to be called a frost. I think there's a word for it when it's lighter than that. At any rate, that's about all we get. And where we are, we never get snow flurries or anything like that. Up in the Waitakere Ranges, occasionally, they may get snow flurries. But that's really rare. Nothing ever sticks in Auckland because it doesn't get that cold. So, like I said, I haven't experienced that light since I left Chicago. And it probably would have actually been the winter of 1994 was the last time I saw that. Because I left on Halloween, actually, of 1995. So, and it wasn't yet winter. So, yeah, I don't think I've seen it since 1994, now that I think about it. That's quite some time. But I don't miss Chicago winters. I do not. Apart from the light and the prettiness. But so, in my last episode, I was talking about getting ready to go and have my periodontal surgery, which is now completed, of course. And I have to say, it wasn't as bad as I was expecting. I thought it could be quite painful, and it wasn't. My periodontist, as I think I've said before, is quite good at injecting the anesthetic. You don't feel the needle or anything, so I thought, that part's really good. But there were two different surgeries. One was on my front tooth, and he opened it up and looked at the root and saw that there were these grooves and pits or something or other, and he said that's what was causing the problem, so he fixed all that. And so I shouldn't have problems with developing deep pockets anymore in that tooth. And while he was there, he also said, hey, you've got your frenulum is hanging down. I'll be happy to fix it for you if you want. And I said, sure, go for it. Now, I did do a bit of a double take because, well, a frenulum is any bit of skin that connects body parts. For instance, the most common one that everybody has and knows about is the bit of skin that goes up between the bottom of your tongue and the bottom of your mouth. It connects your tongue to your mouth. Everybody has that. And a lot of people have it in their naughty bits as well, women and men. And that's the first place I ever heard the word used. So when he said, I can remove your frenulum, I'm like, huh? But then I remembered, oh, yeah. And in my case, it was attaching my upper lip to my, upper gum, I guess. Above my front teeth, except that's where it's supposed to be, except that mine came down between my teeth. And there is some theory that could cause gaps in people's teeth, but it doesn't, it's a bit uncertain because it may not as well. It might happen anyway. But they think that if people do have it, chances are they're going to have a gap or something. I don't know. At any rate, mine was quite noticeable. And I always hated it, but it did serve a purpose. When I was, must have been a teenager, some of the other kids were saying, why don't you get braces? Because they were all at the age where they were getting braces themselves. And my parents couldn't afford braces, as I think I've also mentioned. And so I used to say to them, oh, I can't because that's where my lip is attached, pointing to the frenulum hanging down. And I don't know if they believed me or not. I mean, I knew I was lying, but I don't know that they did. But it stopped the questions and the nagging and all that. So, and I didn't have to say my parents are too poor to buy me braces. So, you know, it worked out well. But that was then. And as I got older, I really began to sort of hate it. And it was one of the reasons why I didn't like smiling, you know, a nice toothy grin or anything. So that's gone, and that looks normal now, but of course my gap is still there, and the one tooth is still hanging down, and so that's for a future thing. The other surgery was on one of my lower molars, and he said there's an unusual fold underneath, which he was certain was the problem there. So, it was all dealt to, and like I said, there was no pain to speak of. The molar throbbed a bit when the anesthetic wore off, but that was about the extent of it. It didn't really hurt as such, and neither did my front tooth area or the frenulum or whatever. None of that hurt. Where the frenulum was removed, it stung a bit in the same way as if you eat something that's too hot and you burn your gum or something. It was like that. Too hot in temperature, I mean. And then afterwards, and still to some extent, it feels like there's something stuck up there. Like, for a while it felt like there's a bit of spaghetti up there maybe. Or now it often feels like there's a bit of lettuce or something up there. And it's just because I'm getting used to the way it is now, and there's probably a bit of scar tissue, I imagine. And I'll eventually get used to it. The only problem I've had since then is that because it changes the shape of my, not the shape of my mouth exactly, but the air passages, I guess, my speech has been affected. And certain letters and sounds, some S's, sometimes T's, they're not right, or they're not normal to my ears anyway. Not to what they were. And so eventually I'll, you know, adapt and learn how to talk. But that's been the only problem I've had since then. Until last week. It wasn't about teeth, however. It had nothing to do with teeth. We'd gotten a warning that there's a severe rainstorm coming, which reminded me that I hadn't cleaned out the drains. And some of them, you know, it's just removing fallen leaves from the top of them so the water can drain in. But we have, in front of our garage, one that's called a slit drain, because it's like a slit. It's about, I don't know, 4 inches wide or something, and runs the entire front of the garage, because our house is on a hill, on a downward hill, and so if it didn't have a drain, theoretically water could come rushing down and into the garage, although that's unlikely, but it could. So, hit the front of that part of the house. So this drain is meant to catch that and drain it away, but over the course of the summer, it fills up with gunk, leaves and twigs and dirt that washes down the drive into it, and it accumulates. And so once a year, I open up the little plastic grates and dig out the goop and put it in the compost. And that's about that, you know, just something you have to do. So I was doing that, prompted by this storm warning, which, by the way, didn't amount to anything. And I jammed my finger. And the reason that was a problem is because a few years ago I got gout in the first joint of my index finger in my right hand, which is I'm right-handed, so that's my mousing finger. And because I injured that joint, this is 2 weeks ago today, since I injured that joint, I caused a gout attack, which was pretty bad. It affected not just that finger, but all the adjacent fingers. My whole hand swelled up. And, is that right? Swelled up? Well, you know what I mean. And it was very difficult. It was sometimes quite painful. Not always, but sometimes quite painful. And, so I did some things. Like I tried to dictate to my computer so I could write blog posts. But I couldn't do anything that required a lot of mousing. And Jason and I, just that day, had recorded a new Too Political podcast. And I couldn't edit it because I couldn't use my mouse. So I just did that, just posted it last night, and we've since recorded another one, which I'm going to edit and post probably first part of next week, I guess. And we're going to take a week off then to get let everything get back in sync. But yeah, so that was more health woes to add on to everything else. But apart from that, I've been fine. I haven't had any colds or flus or anything like that, or allergies or anything. Just the surgeries, which was not a health complaint, just something I had to be dealt to, and the getting the gout in my finger, or my fingers, as it happens. And that made things difficult for about a week and a half. Well, not quite a week and a half, a week and a bit. And yeah, so that's, you know, that's what happens. And tomorrow, Friday, Nigel and I are driving down to Hamilton to pick up his mom. She's going to come and stay with us for, I guess, about a week. I actually don't know how long she's staying. Because this weekend is Queen's birthday weekend. It is the last public holiday for a very long time. The next one isn't until Labor Day, which for us is the fourth Monday in October. So it's a long haul till the next public holiday. But Nigel's taking tomorrow, Friday, off, and of course Monday is a public holiday, so he's got a four-day break. And so, yeah, that's not too bad. And so that, yeah, that'll be good. The only problem is that I'm working next week, and I won't have a lot of time available. But I think we might still be able to sneak in some lunches and stuff, I hope. But that does mean I certainly won't be recording next week. But that's really not a surprise, is it? There have been some things in the news, and one of them is, we'll start with a more somber note. It was just about a year ago yesterday, actually, that they found the body of Blessy Gatinko, the woman who was murdered in our neighborhood. Well, actually, was abducted in our neighborhood. Apparently, she was murdered elsewhere. But she lived on our street. And I talked about that at the time, I think. I've certainly blogged about it anyway. And so last week, her accused killer was found guilty and is awaiting sentencing. The judge lifted the name suppression and then immediately reimposed it when the lawyers objected. And I have no idea why. I imagine that it's going to be vacated soon. But because the name suppression is still in effect, we can't talk about anything about the killer other than the fact that he's been found guilty, the fact that he's 28, that's been mentioned. We know where he lived. We know that on the night of the murder, because this was all in the trial, on the night of the murder, he had driven to the cemetery where he later dumped the body, and then, because he was wearing a monitoring bracelet, they call it, I think it's actually an anklet, but anyway, and that means that the police are monitoring his movements. Why? We don't know. That's all suppressed. But we know that he had it, and we also know that he went to the cemetery, because that came out in the trial. And then at 6 a.m. the morning after he killed her, he went back to the cemetery. So that's how we know that he did it all. But beyond that, we can't say anything. Now, apparently there is a website overseas somewhere that has published all the details, including his name. I don't know what that is, and if I did, I wouldn't be allowed to tell you. But you know, that it does show that there is a problem with the law, because in this international internet interconnected age, New Zealand law can't extend beyond our borders, and there's nothing to stop overseas people from doing what in New Zealand would be breaching a suppression order. And I think ultimately that's going to be a problem that's going to have to be addressed, and they're going to have to look at this whole question of suppression orders and whether or not they make sense in the internet age. And there are certain cases where I think they can be absolutely justified, say the victim of sexual abuse or the case of a minor victim of a crime or something like that, but not all of the time. And they shouldn't be in perpetuity as they sometimes are too, especially for the better off, it seems. But I don't know. That's certainly beyond my pay grade to determine that. But it's going to be an ongoing problem, I think. And I don't know what on earth they're going to do about it, if there's anything they even can do. So that was the news that was going on the end of last week, which was very welcome. I don't think the jury apparently took about 3 hours to find him guilty, and everybody was saying, why did it take more than 3 minutes? Because it was so bloody obvious he was guilty. But of course, we weren't there, so who knows? And also going on at the moment, and I'll talk about this more in a future episode. The John Key, our prime minister, our dear leader, decided that he wanted to have a referendum on the New Zealand flag. Why, nobody knows. But he decided he wanted a referendum, so there are going to be two referendums, referenda. The first is going to be picking one of, I don't know how many, designs. And then the second one will be between the current New Zealand flag and the winner of the alternative design. Now, this is going to cost about $26 million or something like that, $27 million, because postal ballots are very expensive. He's hired a panel of esteemed people, that may be in quote marks, I don't know, because I don't really know who's on the panel, to look at all of the designs for alternative flags that have been submitted. And then they're going to be the ones who are going to pick the ones submitted to voters to choose as possible alternatives. And, you know, I think the New Zealand flag needs to change, personally. I do think it's time that it had a new flag that better represents modern New Zealand, that doesn't have the British Union flag on it and all that sort of stuff. But there's no urgency to doing this. And spending $26 million when the economy is still faltering, we're still running huge deficits, and our debt is getting worse by the day thanks to National, I don't personally think that this is a wise expenditure of money at this time. If we became a republic, we'd have to have a new flag, I think, because I think it would be kind of silly to still have the British Union flag on ours. But that's not on the agenda in the foreseeable future, probably. Well, I have no idea how long it's going to be, because things can change quickly. But, it just seems like a waste of money to me. Also in the news, and if you follow my blog, you may be aware of this, the leader of the Labour Party in Australia, who's the leader of the opposition, is introducing a marriage equality bill into the Australian Parliament. Now, they last voted on this in 2012 when it was voted down. Labour was in government at that time, and the Prime Minister at that time, Julia Gillard, was opposed to marriage equality for some bizarre reason that I've never understood. And it lost, but the main reason it lost is because Tony Abbott, who's now Prime Minister, and at the time was the leader of the opposition, ordered that his coalition mates vote as a bloc against marriage equality. Now, Tony Abbott is a staunch Roman Catholic. He studied to be a priest at one point. And because he's a lot like Rick Santorum in this regard, because he's a staunch Catholic, he accepts everything the Catholic Church tells him, and he refuses to allow a free vote, as they call it, on marriage equality. Now, what this means is the Labour MPs will be free to vote their conscience, just as they were here in New Zealand. So if they support marriage equality, they can vote for it. If they oppose it, they can vote against it. But what is likely to happen is that Tony Abbott will insist that his party and his coalition party, called the National Party, no connection to ours, that they will have to vote as a bloc against it. That's what we expect to happen. Now, if he allows it to go as a free vote, it's entirely possible it will win. Nobody knows for sure. We know that about 70-odd percent of the Australian public favors marriage equality. It's just Tony Abbott who's standing in the way, and for his personal, private, religious reasons, apparently. And it's the only way he can stop it, because if it did go to a free vote, it would probably pass Parliament. So there's going to be a lot of work that's going to be done over the next few months to try to get it enacted. But its entire fate depends on whether or not Tony Abbott allows people to vote, his MPs, to vote their own conscience rather than as he tells them to vote. And that is certainly up in the air. Now, they can't have a referendum like Ireland did, because the only referenda that are submitted to the people are about constitutional change, and that's not needed. They just have to change the Marriage Act, just like here in New Zealand. And a referendum on any other issue that's submitted to the people is advisory only, so it'd be pointless. It's like a taxpayer-funded opinion poll. And as a matter of principle, I'm opposed to ever putting marriage equality up for referendum, even if you're sure it's going to pass, because it's offensive in the extreme to ever put human rights up for popular vote. It's just wrong. And so I'm glad that Australia doesn't require it, even though it would pass a referendum. I just, I just think that Tony Abbott basically needs to grow up and needs to allow the Australian Parliament to do its job and let the people vote, let the all of the MPs vote their conscience. But I'm not Australian, so I don't get a say. So those are some things that have been going on with me, that have been going on in the news. And as we sort of zoom in towards winter, slide into winter, I guess, which, as I said, is on June 1st. And don't let anybody tell you any differently. In this part of the world, June 1st is the start of winter, not the solstice down the road. So that is pretty much everything that's going on with us and New Zealand at the moment. I'm sure there are other things I've forgotten, but rather than try to remember them and include them or whatever, I think that this is as good a place as any to stop. Now, there are two things that I've talked about before that have changed somewhat. One is that I talked about putting off doing YouTube videos. Well, that's no longer actually the case, and it's actually got to do with all this periodontal stuff. I've reached a point where I just don't really care that much about the whole pretty smile, which is where this all began. And so I'm much more likely to, I will be beginning those videos sooner rather than later. And it's just, I've changed. My attitudes have changed about all of that. And, you know, I am what I do want to be thinner, but that's got, well, actually, similar to the teeth thing nowadays, it's got more to do with health than it does with beauty or vanity or any of that sort of thing. So I will eventually start doing those videos, and I'll certainly let you know when that happens. But in the meantime, I've also set up a Facebook page for Emerins, for both this podcast and my blog, and it is facebook.com/Emerins, oddly enough, A-M-E-R-I-N-Z. And I post... or share, I think it's technically called, my blog posts to that, and I will be doing that with podcast episodes as well. And so if you you don't have to be on Facebook, what do they call it, member, whatever they call it, I don't even know what they call it anymore. You don't have to have a Facebook account or whatever in order to be able to see it. It's a public page. However, and you can follow the links from there, but you can't leave a comment, you can't favorite it, you can't, well, they call it like, or any of that stuff. You can't share it unless you have a Facebook account. But if you do have a Facebook, a personal Facebook or whatever, feel free to like the page. I like likes. Who doesn't like likes? Everybody likes likes. I just wanted to say that again. And if you want to see what I post in your newsfeed, however, you're going to have to go back up to that liked thing and go down to get notifications, I think it's called, or follow or something like that. I'd have to check. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's one of those. And I don't worry, I don't post all that much. It's usually a blog post a day and, well, obviously not very many podcasts. And maybe occasionally I might share something else to the Facebook page that I find interesting, but not very often. So it's maybe... At the very most, you'd be looking at maybe a couple times a day, probably. It's not like some of these news sites and whatnot that post things several different times a day, like 6 or 12 times a day or whatever. It's not like that. So if you want to see those things in your newsfeed, then that's what you need to do. If you just want to see the Facebook page, you go to facebook.com/Emerins, and you will see it. And I will put a link in the show notes to the Facebook page, so you make it even easier to get there. And that is it for right now. Have a great rest of the week, those of you who are having a normal week. And for my fellow Kiwis, have a good Queen's Birthday weekend. It's every Queen's Birthday, as I've mentioned in the past. Well, that's it for today. That's it for this week. And that's it for this month. Talk to you soon-ish. Bye. You can comment on this or any episode of the Emerins Podcast at emerinspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can send me an audio message through Audioboo or Skype, where my username is Emerins, and you can email me, with or without a voice message, at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at emerinspodcast.com. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.